Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm William Bell, and welcome to today's podcast, where we're going to be discussing the subject of what is the Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm William Bell, and today we're going to be discussing the subject of what is the resurrection all about? What is the resurrection all about? In just a moment, or in just a few minutes, we're going to be putting on a pre-recorded message that covers the discussion of the resurrection, but I did want to talk a little bit about the subject to start before we actually get into the heart of the message. And we were scheduled to be on this broadcast a little bit earlier this afternoon and ran into a few technical difficulties because of changing the technology that we use to broadcast to you, but I think that we were able to get everything taken care of for now. At least I hope that we did, and that we are on live at the present time. In addition, I would like to welcome those of you who are listening to us, and for those of you who have tuned in, I know we haven't been on the air in some time, and we've been working in the background on quite a few other things and working on some other broadcasts, etc., and so we took time to get those things started and moving forward before getting these, resuming our responsibilities and our duties here. Now, we want to encourage those of you who have the opportunity to call in to call our guest number, which is 646-378-1919. Again, that number is 646-378-1919, and it is a toll call. We encourage you to use it as you have the opportunity and to enter into a discussion with us about the subject matter that we're going to be discussing today. Now, as I said, we're going to be talking about the resurrection, and just let me set that up for you just a bit. We have the idea and the concept, which is pretty much the case with most people from a religious point of view, that resurrection is all about the raising of physical bodies from the ground. And there is, of course, that teaching in the scriptures where the Bible does talk about raising bodies from the ground, and yet that is not what is meant by what we would term the last days or the eschatological resurrection. And by eschatology, we mean the study of the end time. We are talking about the resurrection that would take place at the coming of the Lord. And so this is what this subject is all about. And as you know, we have discussed these matters from time to time. And so I want to make sure that we are aware of the particular subject matter that we are discussing. Now, that being said, when we tell people that resurrection is something other than the physical rising of a body from the dead, we're not denying that there were physical resurrections in the Bible. There were physical resurrections both in the Old Covenant as well as in the New, or at least in the times that we find recorded in the New Testament, just as there are examples from the Old Covenant as well. And so we acknowledge those, and those we are not denying. But what we are saying is that those are not considered the resurrection of the end time, because remember that Christ would be the firstborn from the dead. He would be the first to rise from the dead. And so to be the first, it could not be any of the resurrections that was already valid and that already occurred. Now, let me give you a scripture from Hebrews, and the chapter is 11. The verse is verse 35, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. And I want to give you the understanding, or at least suggest to you, that here is a passage that talked about resurrection that was better than the physical rising of bodies from the dead, a resurrection that was better than the physical rising of bodies from the dead. So let's take a look at that. In Hebrews chapter 11, the verse is 35, and it says that women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So here we have a text telling us that some women received their dead raised to life again. And this example is certainly about physical resurrection. They received their dead raised to life again. But then it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, meaning that they did not accept deliverance from physical death. Why did they not accept deliverance from physical death? It is because they wanted to obtain a better resurrection. It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. So what they were looking for was something much better than physical resurrection. They were looking for something that was much greater in terms of its magnitude and its blessings than physical resurrection. And that's the subject and the topic of our discussion today, is what was that better resurrection toward which they were looking that made some of them refuse to even accept physical resurrection of their dead ones. They would not request their dead, their beloved dead, to be brought back to life. Now, can you imagine someone that you are so affectionate about, someone that you love so much, someone that you have spent perhaps a lifetime with, whether it's a child, whether it's a spouse, and or parent, or whomever, and that person dies and breaks your heart, and you want them to be with you, and you have an opportunity for them to be raised back to life again. And yet here were women, and we have to really understand how emotionally attached that women can be to their children and to their families, not to say that men can't. But here's the point. They did not accept physical resurrection because there was a better resurrection. Now, the last text I want to mention before we get into the pre-recorded part of our broadcast is Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and the verse is 21. Galatians 3 and 21. And the text here says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there could have been a law which could have given life, verily, or truly, righteousness would have been by the law. And that is a great segue into our message today on what is the resurrection all about? Awake to righteousness. And so in just a moment, we're going to be underway with our message on the resurrection. And so stay tuned as we bring you the pre-recorded part of this message. I want you to know.
Hello, everyone. I'm William Bell, and welcome to today's podcast, where we're going to be discussing the subject of what is the resurrection all about? What is the resurrection all about? So, what is the resurrection all about? So many believe and teach that one day God is going to open the graves, reassemble the bones of people from the past centuries up to the present, and bring them out of the tombs. It will be something like a reenactment similar to that of the scene from Michael Jackson's Thriller video with people coming out of the ground. Is that resurrection? If so, what did David mean when he said, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Psalm 17 and verse 15. Was David expecting to rise from a physical tomb? In so doing, would he thereby achieve the likeness of Christ? Now, when we take a look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, John wrote the following. He said, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So what does he mean, then, by awaking to righteousness? We suggest to you that this is what David had in mind when he desired to awake in the likeness of Christ. Note that John said, "It has not yet been revealed what we shall be." Now, we must take that statement in its temporal context. In other words, at the time John wrote, which was in the first century, Christ had not been revealed in his glory. What is the point? It is that Christ's flesh was not his glory, but rather it was his humiliation. Further, that humiliation had been revealed so that it could not be that of which John spoke. That humiliation has not only been seen, but it has been handled. As John said in 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, how can the fleshly state of Jesus' incarnation, in other words, his humiliation, according to Philippians 2, 5, that he humbled himself and became as a man, at least Philippians 2, 5 through 8, if you please, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but he humbled himself even unto death, to the death of the cross." So how can this fleshly state of Jesus' incarnation, which is called his humiliation, refer to what is not revealed when the apostles say that it had been revealed? Jesus' fleshly condition is not the state of his glory, and thus David was not expecting to be resurrected in a body of flesh, nor in an individual body of spirit, if you can understand what we mean by that, because he was already in an individual, quote, body of spirit since he was physically dead. So that's not what he was looking forward to. What David desired was to awake in the righteousness of Christ. That is the body of glory. That is what he stated and also what he desired. That is how he could see the face of Christ. And he saw it by faith at the time he wrote the statement in Psalms. But when it was fulfilled, he was able to see Christ in righteousness, because he was raised out of death, out of Hades, and entered into that realm of God's righteousness. Because David had died in sin, however, God's face was hidden from him. And that's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. And thus to die under the law was to die under a system wherein sin could not be removed as a result of the blood of bulls and goats, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, could never, with those same sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the worshipers perfect. For would they not have ceased to have been offered if they could have taken away sins? But yet the Bible says it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. And thus David died not in righteousness, but in faith of the hope of righteousness, which was being revealed through the Spirit, according to Galatians 5 and verse 5, in the time of the apostles. And hence it is the equivalent of the beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That was the blessing of the kingdom held out by Jesus, and the hope that would be revealed in the new heavens and new earth, which Peter says, wherein dwells righteousness, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. So what is the resurrection all about? Resurrection is not, therefore, about bodies coming out of the ground. Rather, it is about individuals coming out of a body of sin into a body of righteousness. That body of righteousness is Christ and is also called the spiritual body in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 43, as well as Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Now, how is this the case? It's because Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do we really get that? I am the resurrection and the life. Christ is telling us that whatever resurrection is, that's what he is. And whatever he is the resurrection. That's it, no more and no less. Christ is for all who will accept him the resurrection and the life. He was the hope of glory about to be revealed in the first century, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. In other words, what I'm saying is resurrection is not Christ plus a body that you get out of the ground or that transforms. Resurrection is Christ. And now compare what's stated in Romans 10:4 with John chapter 11, verses 25 and verse 26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes and he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's why he affirmed in John chapter 8, verses 51 and 52, that if a man keep my saying, if a man keeps my word, was about to die, and the apostles and all the Christians who lived in the first century died, and all of those who have lived and died up to this point arise in his righteousness, but those who died in faith would arise in righteousness. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 and the resurrection is all about. The resurrection of eschatology is the result. It will be something like a reenactment similar to that of the scene from Michael Jackson's Thriller video with people coming out of the ground. Is that resurrection? If so, what did David mean when he said, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Psalm 17 and verse 15. Was David expecting to rise from a physical tomb? In so doing, would he thereby achieve the likeness of Christ? Now, when we take a look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, John wrote the following. He said, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what does he mean, then, by awaking to righteousness? We suggest to you that this is what David had in mind when he desired to awake in the likeness of Christ. Note that John said, "It has not yet been revealed what we shall be." Now, we must take that statement in its temporal context. In other words, at the time John wrote, which was in the first century, Christ had not been revealed in his glory. What is the point? It is that Christ's flesh was not his glory, but rather it was his humiliation. Further, that humiliation had been revealed so that it could not be that of which John spoke. That humiliation has not only been seen, but it has been handled. As John said in 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, how can the fleshly state of Jesus' incarnation, in other words, his humiliation, according to Philippians 2, 5, that he humbled himself and became as a man, at least Philippians 2, 5 through 8, if you please, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but he humbled himself even unto death, to the death of the cross." So how can this fleshly state of Jesus' incarnation, which is called his humiliation, refer to what is not revealed when the apostles say that it had been revealed? Jesus' fleshly condition is not the state of his glory, and thus David was not expecting to be resurrected in a body of flesh, nor in an individual body of spirit, if you can understand what we mean by that, because he was already in an individual, quote, body of spirit since he was physically dead. So that's not what he was looking forward to. What David desired was to awake in the righteousness of Christ. That is the body of glory. That is what he stated and also what he desired. That is how he could see the face of Christ, and he saw it by faith at the time he wrote the statement in Psalms. But when it was fulfilled, he was able to see Christ in righteousness because he was raised out of death, out of Hades, and entered into that realm of God's righteousness. Because David had died in sin, however, God's face was hidden from him. And that's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you that he will not hear." And thus to die under the law was to die under a system wherein sin could not be removed as a result of the blood of bulls and goats, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, could never with those same sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the worshipers perfect. For would they not have ceased to have been offered if they could have taken away sins? But yet the Bible says it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin." And thus David died not in righteousness, but in faith of the hope of righteousness, which was being revealed through the Spirit, according to Galatians 5 and verse 5, in the time of the apostles. And hence it is the equivalent of the beatitude, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That was the blessing of the kingdom held out by Jesus and the hope that would be revealed in the new heavens and new earth, which Peter says wherein dwells righteousness, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. So what is the resurrection all about? Resurrection is not, therefore, about bodies coming out of the ground. Rather, it is about individuals coming out of a body of sin into a body of righteousness. That body of righteousness is Christ and is also called the spiritual body in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 43, as well as Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Now, how is this the case? It's because Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do we really get that? I am the resurrection and the life. Christ is telling us that whatever resurrection is, that's what he is. And whatever he is the resurrection. That's it, no more and no less. Christ is for all who will accept him, the resurrection and the life. He was the hope of glory about to be revealed in the first century. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. In other words, what I'm saying is resurrection is not Christ plus a body that you get out of the ground or that transforms. Resurrection is Christ. And that's it. To be in him is to be raised. And thus Paul says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Now, where did people ever get the idea that the end times resurrection is about physical bodies rising out of a tomb? From tradition, from creeds, from ignorance, from the coattails of their fathers? Certainly not from the Bible. Neither faithful Old Testament saints or the apostles ever entertained such a notion. Yet it is the popular belief today. Christ, however, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In other words, God made him to be the Lord our righteousness. Now compare what's stated in Romans 10:4 with John chapter 11, verses 25 and verse 26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's why he affirmed in John chapter 8, verses 51 and 52, that if a man keep my saying, if a man keeps my words, if a man obeys my words, if a man lives by faith, he shall never see death. Well, he could not be talking about physical death, because as the Jews stated, Abraham was dead, Christ was about to die, and the apostles and all the Christians who lived in the first century died. And all of those who have lived and died up to this point would fall into the category of dying a physical death. However, the death that Jesus is talking about is the death that is a result of sin. He said, if you die in your sin where I am, you cannot come. And so those who refuse to accept Christ would die in unrighteousness, would die in sin, and therefore would not arise in his righteousness. But those who died in faith would arise in righteousness. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 and the resurrection is all about. The resurrection of eschatology is the result of faith or belief, not of coming out of a physical grave. Resurrection is the opposite of living in the state of and the practice of sin. As Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, and please understand that word, in the likeness of his death, because the likeness of his death means the same thing as the likeness of his resurrection, or the likeness of Christ. That's what David was talking about when he says, I will be satisfied when I arise in your likeness. Now, they were in the likeness of Jesus' death. They weren't in the actuality of Jesus' death. In other words, they hadn't died physically, but they had died with him from a soteriological point of view, meaning that they entered into that death state to sin, because Jesus died to sin. And when they died with him in baptism, they shared in his death to sin. And that's what the text means. And therefore, they were in the likeness of his death. But not only were they in the likeness of his death, the Bible also says, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So they would share in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, when the Bible says he who has died has been freed from sin, again, that's not physical death. That's the death a person dies with Christ and therefore dies to sin. Yet future resurrection denies present righteousness. Since resurrection is the awakening to righteousness, if it were yet future and not already realized, we could not be righteous until the resurrection occurred. We have to understand that. You see, I know all of those out there who are listening to me who believe that the resurrection is yet future have not yet understood the connection of resurrection with righteousness. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. In Galatians chapter 5 and the verses 5, the Bible says, for we through the Spirit do wait for the hope of righteousness, which is by faith. What were they doing? They were waiting for the hope of righteousness, which is by faith. So righteousness was the hope. But wasn't resurrection the hope as well? And isn't there only one hope in the gospel? So you see, righteousness was their hope. Resurrection was the hope, and those are equal to one and the same thing. If the resurrection, therefore, is future, if it has not yet occurred, then righteousness has not yet come into being. It is not yet a present reality, and men still live and labor under the power of sin. That's why Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, there's the promise of whom? The promise of the Spirit, just as Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 5, those passages are parallel, for we, through the promise of the Spirit, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. You see, resurrection belongs to the new heavens and new earth. And if we do not have the new heavens and new earth, if it is still future, if resurrection is still future, then where's the righteousness that is found within the new heavens and the new earth? David said, I will be satisfied when I awake in your righteousness, when I awake in your likeness. And so to awake or rise from the dead is to arise into the righteousness of Christ. Again, in Romans chapter 6, Paul said, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. The future life of that text is precisely the life or resurrection affirmed in 1 Corinthians 15. They're not different. You see, everyone understands that the life in 1 Corinthians chapter, or rather in Romans chapter 6, is spiritual and not physical. They get it, but they don't understand that Romans chapter 6 is directly parallel to 1 Corinthians 15. Both of them are talking about a future life in the text. And it is the spiritual life of Romans that is identical to the spiritual life of 1 Corinthians 15. That's why Paul said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Now, how would they sin? They would sin by going back under the law. That's why he tells them in Romans chapter 6, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace." You see, they were under the grace of the gospel. It is no more physical than the death that the saints died with Christ. It is all about leaving a body of sin and entering a body of righteousness where they yield their lives to righteousness. Sin cannot reign and dominate their lives anymore because they are no longer under the law. Also, notice the following verses in Romans chapter 6, verses 13 through 19, and you will see where Paul is simply talking about yielding up their members and their lives to righteousness as opposed to living in sin. You see, resurrection is all about living within the state and practicing righteousness. Now, I'd like to make an offer to you concerning a new study which consists of two DVDs of over 50 minutes each that include PowerPoints of the entire lessons. These are available to you on the study of the resurrection unto perfection in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 and 2. This study will make a great addition to your library, and it's going to give you an up-close and personal experience in the humor, the dynamics, and the challenges of communicating eschatology. And it's also delivered before a live audience. It's entertaining and informative. I hope you'll take advantage of that and learn more about what resurrection is all about, because we go through in quite a bit of detail to show you from both Hebrews chapter 6 as well as 1 Corinthians 15 about the study of resurrection. You'll see an order form or you...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us today. I'd like to encourage you to visit us at www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Again, that's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. And you'll find a site that has quite a bit of information on eschatological or end-time studies, as well as other information that would be of interest to you as you continue to study. We ask your apology for some of the technical challenges that we experienced today, and we hope to get those worked out before long as we try to incorporate the use of Skype with Block Talk Radio broadcast, as well as pre-recorded messages as well. And so this will give us the opportunity to interact more with you via the chat room as you on the call. So we look forward to being back with you, and take care. And I'm William Bell, so have a great evening, and we'll see you at the next time.
Heavenly Father.